Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Thursday, November 9th. Week 10 about to get started today. And like we do on a Thursday, I'll get you set up with some wide receiver cornerback matchups to take advantage of or potentially avoid in DFS. But there is a lot of news to get to first and foremost, so I wanted to dive into what we know the latest, especially here on Justin Jefferson. A few other situations we'll check in on as well. But here's what we have with Jefferson. Ian Rappaport said the Vikings are expected to open up his practice window this week. I have not seen that move formally happen. In other words, him being designated to return. But I could have missed that. Either way, it's sort of a moot point because Kevin O'Connell came out and said it would be, quote, a little aggressive, end quote, for Jefferson to play this week, essentially. So in other words, that's a Kevin O'Connell way of saying he's not going to play this week. But the good news is, well, first and foremost, when the injury happened, things were looking pretty bleak for the Minnesota Vikings. They had just one win on the season. And honestly, with Kirk Cousins coming to the end of his contract, looked like they were staring down a potential high-end pick, which, if you're Justin Jefferson, your team is in the mix for the number one overall pick. You don't have a long-term deal yet. What motivation do you have to come back? Pretty much zero, right? And you're actually hopeful for next year because maybe you'll have Caleb Williams throwing you the football. Well, a lot has changed between now and then. Of course, the team did lose Kirk Cousins, which really sucks because he was having a tremendous season. But they won four games. And maybe two of those games on paper look like winnable games, but and that was without an injury to Kirk Cousins. But they won all four, and they made a trade. Now, they didn't trade for Kyler Murray, but they did trade for a guy who can give you starts in Dobbs, who can deliver the ball. Honestly, I like the fit of Dobbs with Jefferson way more than Dobbs with Jordan Addison. So now there's a reason to come back. And I'll be honest, I have Jefferson in a very important home league, and I was a little bit concerned I wasn't going to get to use this guy. Like, I took him number one overall in that league, and I'm like, man, that's the season, right? I also have a few other entries. Achan, Richardson, a few. It's been brutal. But now all of a sudden I have hope, not for this week, but for next week that he'll be back out there. I mean, this team is in the playoff hunt right now. Like, if the playoffs, obviously, I hate this phrase because the playoffs aren't going to start today, so obviously. But if they were, as the phrase tends to go, they are in that playoff position. Right now in the NFL, in the NFC, the Eagles obviously are atop the list. They're steamrolling now their way to the NFC East title. I mean, they have a 2.5-game lead on the Dallas Cowboys at this point. But 8-1 for them. Detroit 6-2. They're a game and a half up on Minnesota in the North. The Saints are a game up at 5-4 in the South. And San Francisco technically holding the edge over Seattle, even though they have the same record. San Francisco has the better divisional record at 2-0. But here's your wild card teams as of right this second: at 5-3 Dallas, at 5-3 Seattle, and at 5-4 Minnesota. You're talking about a potential playoff team. He's going to come back. I mean, that's great news. I don't know if there's really much of a buy low window on him any longer. And I do expect, I think it's their next game. Not this week, but their next game that he'll be back for. A few other nuggets here. Keep an eye on Ja'Marr Chase. I don't want to panic just yet, but the back issue that he has, I don't think we should take this lightly. He didn't practice on Wednesday. I don't have a Thursday practice report, but we do have to keep an eye on that. I'm not as concerned with Kenneth Walker not practicing on Wednesday. It's being called a chest issue. He had a calf issue earlier in the season. I think this is a lot of maintenance with him. However, by the same token, we're going to continue to see our fair share of Zach Charbonnet. Not enough to make Charbonnet an RB2, but potentially flex-worthy in certain weeks. Does look like Debo Samuel will be back this week. He's practicing in full. As far as David Montgomery, same thing, practicing in full. So with David Montgomery, I know hopes are high for Jahmyr Gibbs after his previous performance, but I would temper those expectations. A lot of those money carries, like the goal line and red area carries, those are going to go to Monty. That's not going to change. Yes, Jahmyr Gibbs flashed that big ceiling, but a big part of that fantasy production that we saw out of him was really closely tied to the volume. No Monty, plenty of volume. With Monty on the field, not as much volume. So I said it yesterday, they're both very usable. They're both in RB2 territory this week, but I do still have the edge on David Montgomery. James Conner, designated to return from injured reserve. That doesn't mean he's guaranteed to come back this week. However, we are trending in the right direction. And with Amari DiMercato banged up, I think there's a little bit of extra impetus to get Connor back out there, but we shall see on that one. We do know Kyler Murray is starting, so that is at least good. Drake London, who missed last week, did get limited work in on Wednesday, so trending towards getting back on the field. Not out of the woods just yet. Josh Downs not practicing on Wednesday. I don't know if he plays this week. The expectation is he's going to miss a little bit of time, so we got that. One other note here on the quarterback front, our guy Tommy DeVito. Oh! Is starting for the New York Giants this week. That is a name that Giants fans, I think, can root for right there. But obviously, optimism pretty darn low. They did also sign Matt Barkley to the active roster. Tyrod Taylor has three more games before he can come back from injured reserve. He may come back. I don't see why it would hurt the Giants to, you know, designate him to return and then put him out as the starter. So keep that in mind. Taylor could be a factor during the fantasy playoffs in super flex leagues. But as of right now, DeVito is the bottom of my quarterback rankings for the week. Not a huge surprise. We could see some starts out of Matt Barkley as well. We shall see. But in the short term, not good there for the New York Giants. All right, let's get into some wide receiver cornerback matchups. And again, just to reiterate, this is for DFS folks. In season-long fantasy football, we don't have to get this granular. Because all we're really trying to do is beat one opponent. I know you might be in points-only leagues. That's slightly different. But still, I don't want to get granular. I want to just put the guys out there who are most likely to score the most points. In DFS, I want to put the guys out there who give me the best chance of hitting their ceiling. I'm not worried about ceiling in season-long because, you know, if you think of like the bell curve, well, hitting the ceiling is the small end of that curve on one side, and that means just as likely would be the small end of the curve on the other side, which is their floor. You could swing and miss, in other words, and I don't want to do that in season-long fantasy football. I don't mind a DFS because we're navigating salary, we're navigating ownership, we're navigating tens of thousands of potential opponents in different lineups that we're facing. So that's why this is more of a DFS discussion. CeeDee Lamb, nice upgrade here against the Giants. He will primarily see Cordell Flott out of the slot. 67% of Lamb's routes have come out of the slot this season. Flott hasn't been as bad as Adoree Jackson. Now, Lamb will see his share of Adoree Jackson as well. I do not expect a shadow in this one, by the way. But Flott did allow 13.7 yards per catch to the Raiders last week. Adoree Jackson on 14.1 per catch on the season, a 76% catch rate. Great spot for CeeDee Lamb to continue to roll. Love this spot for DeAndre Hopkins. Love it. You might have seen this. Last week, the Bucs gave up 470 passing yards and five scores to the Texans. Three of those touchdowns came in Carlton Davis's coverage. He also allowed a touchdown in week eight. So four touchdowns allowed over his last two games. Hopkins, by the way, saw a really tough matchup from Joey Porter last week. I'll get to more of him in a moment. I love Amon-Ra, but I also like the idea of Jameson Williams this week in DFS. So the Chargers secondary has been very friendly over the course of the season. St. Brown runs most of his routes out of the slot, so he'll see Jasir Taylor there. I'm not intimidated by that matchup whatsoever. Taylor allowing 12 yards per catch, which is a big number for a slot corner. So why Jameson Williams? Okay, so we know he's a big play specialist, and that's really what you'll need to get out of him to justify using him in DFS. You need one of those long plays that goes for a touchdown. Why this week? Well, he's going to see a lot of Asante Samuel. And I think the youngster is a rock solid option, but like his father, tends to be a little ball hawkish. And when you are a ball hawk, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword, you can give up some big plays. He's allowed 14.7 yards per catch. He has surrendered a catch of 30-plus yards in 4 of his 8 games this season. That sets up well for Jameson Williams this week. A really interesting play. It's been a, and obviously live by the sword, die by the sword with him as well. But it's been a rough season for Emmanuel Forbes, the first rounder, allowing 19.1 yards per catch on the season. That means good things for Tyler Lockett, who figures to see more of Emmanuel Forbes than DK Metcalf, but they're both in play. Deontay Johnson, man, it's good to have him back, isn't it? 20 catches, 254 yards, and a rare touchdown over his last 3 games. He's going to see plenty of Carrington Valentine. I do not expect a Jair Alexander shadow. Valentine is allowing 17.3 yards per reception in his covers this season, so it could be a Valentine's Day here for Deontay Johnson. In terms of the downgrades, both Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers, they're facing the Jets. I mean, this is straightforward. Every week, downgraded against the Jets. And this isn't one of those, like, sometimes we'll have these perceptions of corners who are, you know, maybe good in the past but not so good this year. Like Xavien Howard earlier in the season, it's like he's a big name, but he really wasn't playing that well. The Jets secondary is playing amazing football. Amazing football. Here's the yards per catch allowed from the starting trio. Sauce Gardner, 8.1. DJ Reed, 8.7. Michael Carter, 7.8. Those are awesome numbers across the board, especially awesome for the perimeter duo of Sauce and Reed. But Carter at 7.8, like, they're keeping everything in front of them. I don't expect much here out of the Raiders passing game. I think this is more run-centric for the Raiders in this one with Josh Jacobs continuing to roll. So I'm going to fade Adams and Myers in DFS this week. Amari Cooper versus Baltimore. The Ravens secondary, they've only given up 2 100-yard performances on the season. George Pickens in week 5. Amon-Ra, because all he does is put up 100-yard games, in week 7. We also saw Amari Cooper against the secondary earlier in the season. That was in week 3. He had 6 targets in that game, which is not bad. He had 1 catch in that game, which is not good, for 16 yards. Jordan Addison against the Saints. All right, so I mentioned Justin Jefferson not expected to return this week. KJ Osborne looking unlikely to play with that scary concussion he suffered last week. So that means all the attention is going to be on Addison. I don't think he draws a shadow from Marshawn Lattimore, but he's going to see plenty of Lattimore in this one. Lattimore is as good as he's ever been. 57% catch rate in his covers last week against the Bears. 1 catch on 1 target for 9 yards. That's all he allowed in that game. How about Joey Porter Jr.? Steelers fans, you have a gem in Joey Porter Jr. And this... It hasn't been like an absolute rock star every single first round corner has hit this year, but a lot of them have. I mean, we're seeing Devin Witherspoon. He's been really impressive. Christian Gonzalez earlier in the season was really impressive before his season ender, but Joey Porter might be the best of all of them. I mean, it's going to be close between him and Witherspoon, but last week, okay, so it took a while for the Steelers to insert him into the starting lineup. They finally did it 2 weeks ago. And then last week, Thursday Night Football, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, kid, you're going to shadow DeAndre Hopkins. He was on Hopkins, 75% of Hopkins' routes. One of the best receivers of his generation, go out there and shadow him, kid. 5 targets, 1 catch. That's it. He has been awesome this season. No way am I using Christian Watson. Or I don't know if there's going to be a shadow this week, but yeah, running away from that matchup. You know who else has been quite good? Darius Williams. Now, he hasn't been like a shutdown corner or anything like that, but where he has been especially good is making plays on ball. He leads all corners with 11 pass breakups. That's a big number right there. 3 interceptions as well, so that's 14 plays on ball, the combination of interceptions and pass breakups. So, who sees more Darius Williams? Debo Samuel. He lines up on the right 50% of the time. I do expect Debo to be back, as I mentioned. So he's going to see plenty of Williams. It's not a great matchup for Debo. I would err towards Brandon Ayuk. He's been extremely efficient this season. 3.25 yards per route run, which is awesome. So if you're going to play one of those guys, it would be Ayuk in that matchup against the Jaguars. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. I'll be back for the flagship episode tomorrow, breaking down the remaining games on this slate. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com, go check it out. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.